Our scripture this morning is Isaiah 54. You can find that on page 548 in your pew Bibles. Now perhaps you say, well, we all should know where the book of Isaiah is. Well, as we're going to hear this morning, we have to prepare our place for those that the Lord brings into His church. That doesn't mean that they all know where that book is, so for their sake, page 548, Isaiah 54. We've had several sermons at about communion, applicatory, on this same chapter, and now it is the first 10 verses that I want to preach on this morning, especially verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 54, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, that thou didst not travail with child, for more of the children are the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little moment I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. So far, the reading of God's Word, it's verses 1 and 2 especially, but in connection with the other verses, which we'll respond to. Sing forth, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. The Lord add his blessing to the preaching of the word. It says in the bulletin, farewell sermon. When we think of farewell, one cannot help but think of the Apostle Paul's farewell to the church at Ephesus, to the elders of Ephesus. May be true of me as it was for Paul. Paul was able to say, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. May that sum up the 7 years that of preaching here, repentance toward God and toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul later on speaks in Acts 20 of the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus, what? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. Yes, may we marvel week after week after week about the grace of God that saves. He says, I preached the kingdom of God. Or again, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Pray that that's the case. My apologies for my failures as a person. But then he comes with warnings also. After my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, drawing disciples after them. There's a prayer, and I make that my prayer also as I part from your as a pastor. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. What a beautiful word of Paul to the church, and that's my word. I commend you to God. You are Christ's church. And after the Apostle Paul had this farewell to the elders of Ephesus, he prayed for them, prayed with them. And then we read in Acts 20, and they all wept sore, and they fall on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. They wept because they would see his face no more. I have enjoyed my 7 years here as a pastor. I was surprised by the call. It was difficult because I saw myself retiring as your pastor. I loved my ministry here. But quite different, this farewell. Paul gave the farewell, and they wept because they would see his face no more. But you're not going to get rid of me. That is, I'm going to continue with me, and my sermon this morning is really about our continuing relationship. Yes, a new relationship. A relationship of a church that is calling and supervising the work of home missions. A new relationship. And I emphasize, it's our relationship. We are called together. Supervising congregation, the man that's called to home missions, to bring that same gospel that the church in Ephesus heard. Now Paul was going to go and take it on to Rome. And the gospel that you and I have heard and preached is the gospel that is we are called to send forth. So these questions, are you excited about this new prospect in this relationship? And is there a song in your heart because of that great expectation? Isaiah 54, sing, O barren. Break forth into singing. Cry aloud. Three different verbs used there about the excitement and the response of what the Lord is going to do. And so I pick as my text, verse 2 especially, enlarge the place of thy tent. That's the name of the sermon. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Notice in the first place, set before Israel and us this morning by the Holy Spirit is a great expectation. Second, set before us is a calling to prepare for that expectation. And then thirdly, the cause that we can have this expectation. notice, first of all, those who are addressed. The Holy Spirit, through Isaiah, is addressing Jerusalem. He is addressing Judah. He is addressing the church. And he gives the church two names here. Now, the church has many different names and many different images, but he picks up the image here of a barren woman. A barren woman is one who cannot have children. Or he picks up later on in, I think it's verse 3 or 4, the widow. The widow whose husband has died and there is no possibility of children. And he calls Israel the barren one or the widow because of the upcoming Babylonian captivity, where she will not be bearing many sons. She was not going to be greatly increased. In fact, after the Babylonian captivity, that great nation, you'll remember there were 2 million that came out of Egypt. That great nation, there's 49,000 plus that actually go back to the land of promise to await for the coming Messiah. Only 40. What a barren, what a desolate picture. Barren. No great number of children, no great offspring could be expected from her as long as she groaned under that wretched bondage. The bondage of sin, and therefore the bondage that she is going to be brought into captivity. And now, of course, that Isaiah, in the last chapters from 40 on, really looks past that event of the captivity of what is expecting, what she can expect, what the Lord is going to do. But at this point, going into captivity, during the captivity, and even right after the captivity, yes, not a great lady with many, many, many children, but rather a pitiful few, even when they return from captivity. The church is compared there to Sarah, the barren one, or to Hannah, the barren one who grieved. There was no hope humanly for them. And when comparing the church there to Sarah, one cannot help but understand there the covenant also pictured, isn't it? Because the Lord had made a promise to Abraham and to Sarah. The Lord had promised that she would have many children, that they would be the parents, that Abram would be the father of many nations. There is the covenant that God would remember them and do great things for them. And yes, we do also remember that it seemed almost too much for Sarah. She laughed behind the door of her tent. She wasn't prepared for the Lord to keep his promise. The barren one, the widow, who really cannot expect much of herself. And the Lord comes to her with a great, great message. Those addressed as the church, as the barren, or the widow. And sometimes we have this negative attitude still of the church today. We are all alone. You'll remember that Israel, and we read of it in Isaiah, is left like a booth in a cucumber field. And in these dark days, it seems that the church is mighty small and will only decrease in size with the persecution that's going to come, that unless the Lord had shortened the days, even the elect would have perished. But addressing the church as the barren one, as the widow, notice, it is the Lord. We read in Isaiah 54, verse 1, our text. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing. Cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of desolate than the children of the married wife. There's the great expectation. Children and children and children, sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Ah, there's the difference. This is not something that she just says to herself, but the Lord himself says it to her. And who is he? He is, verse 5, thy maker. The one who formed her, the one who married her, her husband. Now, it's going to seem like she's a widow as she goes into banishment. It will seem that the Lord has cast her off, but he hasn't. The Lord remembers his covenant. And the amazing thing is that Israel's sins, that Israel's covenant violation cannot stop the purpose of God's covenant love. The purpose of God's covenant love to multiply a people for himself. He will fill the world with children born by his spiritual union to his wife, the church. And they, that will result then in their righteousness and their glory. Those addressed, the church, barren, like a widow of herself, not having any children. Because of her bondage to sin. But here is the promise, the great expectation. You, O barren one, you, O widow, more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. More. Abundant children, more and more and more children. The end of verse 3. Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make desolate cities to be inhabited. The work is going to be extraordinary and wonderful. When will she see this? No, she will not see this when she just comes back from her captivity. But she is going to see this in the new dispensation. It is important that Isaiah 54 follows Isaiah 53, isn't it? For the Holy Spirit by Isaiah pictures the Christ in Isaiah 53. And he is the suffering servant. He makes his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. And yet, we know that it was the Lord who bruised him. The Lord put him to grief. Why? Because the Lord would make his soul an offering for sin. And he will see his seed. He will prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Therefore, verse 12 of Isaiah 53, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he will divide the spoil with the strong. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for transgressors. There's the answer. Isaiah has looked at the Christ, and there of necessity he moves on then to the church, because one cannot think of Christ without his body, and just as one cannot think of the body without the head. Christ suffered and died for sins, and there is the hope. Through his travail, through his suffering, there will be many children. Many will inherit the blessing. What a blessing this is. And it takes place after Jesus Christ has suffered and died. And he ascended into heaven, he received the Spirit of Christ, and he takes that Spirit and he pours it out on the church. So that God's elect are gathered there on Pentecost Sunday. God's elect are gathered when Peter is unexpectedly sent to the home of the Gentile Cornelius. And the saints are gathered when there was such an uproar, when there was so much work in Antioch, that the elders, that the apostles in Jerusalem send Barnabas there to preach. And the work is so much that he calls Saul of Tarsus to come and assist him. Many, many children gathered, born to the church from this and that. And that process continues and will continue until Jesus Christ comes again. The elect gathered, and the Bible describes them, the book of Revelation, a multitude that cannot be numbered because they are so great. The church is pictured here as a mother, isn't she? A mother with many children to love and to care for. Children on the right and from the left. So many children. That's a theme that follows through the Bible, doesn't it? It's something they should have expected. God came to Abraham and he says, I will make you a father of many different nations. And then the Lord comes later on to Isaac and to Jacob. And the promise is there, Genesis 28, verse 14, and thy seed shall be like the dust of the earth. Ever been in a dust storm? But what a beautiful picture. So many. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and all thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And it is our text that the Apostle Paul quotes then later on in the book of Galatians chapter 4, verse 27. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she that hath a husband. What an expectation, a great expectation. Many, many children. And that is why the church is called to sing. Sing, O barren. Break forth into singing. Cry aloud. What a passage. What a great expectation. The light has shined. The light has shined, and there's a great, great joy. Many sons and daughter, and what mother of Zion does not rejoice in the children that the Lord gives? Blessed is the man who has many, for his quiver are filled, huh? That's the vision. That's the vision. That is the promise of the Lord. Many, many, many children. And so the church sings with rejoicing. Peoples and multitudes come. And from that expectation comes the preparation for it. Make room for them. Make room for them. Way earlier when I took a course on missions, there was a saying in the churches that if a church wants to do missions, wants to do church extension, roughly 1/3 to 1/4 of their seats should be empty. The idea being that there's room, that there's room for others who come to hear the gospel through the preaching of the gospel. There's room for them. That is the picture that is given in my text, verse 2. Sing, shout, because there's so many children coming. The church will be enlarged. It's a divine work. What a great passage for the significance today of the church. Set before us a very practical and very spiritual point of view. Spoken here in prophetic language is the expansion of the church as it began at Pentecost, continues through the new dispensation, and reaches its fulfillment. Finally, in that multitude, which no person can number, in the day of Jesus Christ. It concerns, beloved, the work of missions. The expansion of Zion from the viewpoint of the activity of God's church in the world. And we are given hints and directives here in that work. Sing. Sing because this is a divine work. Sing with joy so unexpected. This is an unexpected passage for Zion at that time. All she sees is dark days ahead. This is 150 to 200 years before the captivity. Her land is going to be depopulated. And here comes his message. I don't forget my love. I don't forget my purpose, says God. My purpose to gather my people and to bless them, to save them. Joy so sudden, cry aloud with power. What a great happiness. In other words, the Lord is surprising his people here, isn't he? They are not to be filled with skepticism, whatever is going to happen to us, long faces. But they are to be filled with expectation. Why? Because of the Lord's promises. We'll look at that later on. So this question, and I'll ask it later on in the sermon again. Are you ready to be surprised? Are you ready to be surprised at what the Lord does and will do? We need to be. We need to be because at times we, like Israel, look at ourselves as this small little segment in this dark, dark world. We look at apostasy around, and we're tempted with Elijah to say, I or we and we alone are left. God doesn't allow us to do that. Even I, as a pastor, looking into now becoming a missionary, it's hard work. Will anyone respond? We are not to be filled with skepticism. Will anything come of this? But a surprise. What the Lord will do. And it is a song then that arises. Yes, it comes off our lips. It arises from our hearts. It arises from our hearts because the church's heart loves the cause of God and the truth of God. And when God causes us to know and to confess and to love his truth, then there's a desire in our hearts. There's a desire in our hearts that others also, many others, the Lord willing, may with us know and confess the truth. What is at stake is the church. When many come, there is rejoicing. Not only with the angels in heaven, there is rejoicing in the church. Any church that is not busy in evangelism, in doing missions, is a dead church. The church needs new members. New members that carry with them enthusiasm for what the Lord has said and what the Lord has done. Because at times, God's people who have heard the story so many times become complacent, ho-hum. And when we have new members in our midst and have that eagerness to read God's word and to hear what the Lord has done, that's good for all of us. The church. Pictures here, the continuation of the church from the Old Testament, which is always pictured in tents because they have no abiding place. And the New Testament, which is a continuation of the church. Pentecost is not the birthday of the church. The church has always existed from Adam and Eve on. She takes on a new form. She goes from a child now to an adult in the New Testament. Songs from the heart. And that means, beloved, we're going to look at enlarging the place of the tent, but first of all, may God enlarge in our own hearts. May God make room in our hearts so that we have that desire, that longing, that expectation, a great expectation, that there will be many, many sons and daughters, that they will come from the east and from the west. They will come. So that's the great expectation that we are called to sing. Sing with joy. Now notice with me then, second of all, preparation for that expectation. And the Holy Spirit, through Isaiah, makes use of a tent in verse 2. A tent. Noah and his family lived in tents until they built the ark. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they lived in tents. Immediately when you think of these tents, we think of those tents set up because their home here is temporary. They were just passing through. They were looking, Abraham, for that city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Church is compared to a tent because here she has no solid building in the world. She exists here for the gathering of God's people, for the instruction, for the care of God's people. But her home is in heaven. But he also uses a tent because he's drawing from the Old Testament. They lived in tents because they were delivered from slavery in Egypt. Delivered from slavery in Egypt, and they were led by God in the wilderness for some 40 years where the Lord cared for them, didn't he? They never wanted for food, they never wanted for water, they never wanted for clothing to wear or shoes to feed. The Lord cared for them that whole way. They lived in tents. And they lived in tents there in the wilderness with God's tent in the middle, the sanctuary. God with his people, fellowship with their God. But now comes the second injunction or command, imperative. Just as God's people are to shout with joy, to sing with, because of the great expectation God gives in his promises, now they're to prepare for that. How? Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stakes. Don't be stingy. Don't say, well, this is big enough now. Have an imagination for what the Lord's going to do. Enlarge the tent. When we read those words, enlarge the tent, hopefully you have another passage in mind. What I'm speaking about is the promise, the blessing that was spoken by Noah the prophet to Japheth. In Genesis 28, after that terrible debacle, where Noah fell into sin. His one son mocked him. The other two son honored him and covered up his nakedness. And then we have a blessing that comes to them. And we read there that Jacob's tent will be enlarged. That is, that Japheth will enter into the tents of Shem. Something radical is going to happen. Yes, also pointing to the time at Pentecost, when God's dealings would not be only with the descendants of Shem, but Japheth, the Gentiles, will enter into the tents. Those tents are going to be enlarged. Hardly room for everyone. What a picture. What a picture. I don't know what passage I gave you earlier, but it should have been Genesis 9. Genesis 9, verse 27. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. So, church, there's a great promise. There is a great expectation. From the east and from the west. If we turn just a little bit further in Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah chapter 60. There we read about the light that's going to shine. And that light is going to shine so wonderfully and beautifully that we read in verse 3, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they will come to thee. Thy son shall come from afar, thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee." All these inhabitants, not sons and daughters of Zion by birth, but sons and daughters by conversion. Those who were formerly their enemies around them, now we're said going to be those that are drawn to the light, drawn to the church. A great, great mount. God with his people. So make the tent larger. Can you picture that a moment? What does it mean to enlarge the tent? Well, if you're going to enlarge the tent, first of all, you prepare the ground that the tent is going to lay on. Any of you ever lay in a tent? I did too many years that I care to remember when I was in the chaplaincy. You really want to get some of those stones and those rough places out from underneath where the tent's going to be, because otherwise it's going to be a sore in your backside the rest of the night. Prepare the ground. Prepare the ground so that that tent can be expanded. And now in that picture, you take your stakes and you put those at the outermost parts of that prepared ground. And you're not going to be stingy. You're not going to say, well, it's a lot of work to get more ground. No, no, no. You got a great vision. Let's make this tent large enough for all those who are coming. So you put your stakes out a long, great distance, and that means then you've got to lengthen the cords that hold up the tent to those stakes. And it means that you're going to make those curtains larger. The curtains that would separate the men and the women in the tent. Make those curtains larger. There's all these folks coming from the west and from the east, from the north and from the south. Enlarge the tent. Make room. Because all of the children of Zion need a space there. if you turn just back a couple chapters in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 20 through 22. The place is too small. The place is too small. The children which thou shalt have, after thou hast lost the other, shall say again in thine ears, the place is too strait for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then thou shalt say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these? Seeing I've lost my children and am desolate, a captive and removing to and fro. And who hath brought up all these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where have they been? Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. And they shall bring their sons in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. What a vision. The place is too small. The Lord is going to do great things. He is going to cause the sons and the daughters to come to Zion because they see the light. And there has to be room. There must be room in the church. How do we do that? How do we enlarge the place of the tent? And it's rather easy to understand, isn't it? We enlarge the place of the tent through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is because Jesus Christ has suffered and died and rose again, Isaiah 53, that he will have many children. He will see his seed, and therefore we enlarge the gospel. It's because we preach Christ, therefore we preach the church. We gather, they are gathered, we read. Verse 3, the Gentiles will be brought forth. They're gathered by God. They come. And very interestingly, the perspective of Isaiah is especially they come. They come. Eagerly they come to the church. And Isaiah does that because he is picturing this as the great work that God does, which is a great expectation that the church didn't have there. Now, there are some folks today who still say, well, the church is here. And so, let the people from the neighborhood come if they want to come. We're here. Let them come. Yes, they come. But they come because we, as a church, are called to go. Go with the gospel. Go with the precious tidings. And that's what happened at Pentecost, didn't it? Peter, at the command of God, oh no, he at first didn't think so. He went to Cornelius and his household. And the saints, leaving Jerusalem, they went to Antioch. And from Antioch, Paul and Silas and Barnabas and John Mark, they went to the various cities. We make room by the preaching of the gospel. And you're going to hear more about that, I believe, by Reverend Van Overloop this evening. We enlarge the place of the tent by proclaiming to them the truth. Not the stories that are out there, not the philosophies of the world, but we prepare the ground, we enlarge the tent. Why? Preaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We prepare a larger tent by feeding them, by instructing them, by comforting them. Yes, by assisting them, by protecting them, and by teaching not only them, but their children also. And we enlarge in the tent by accepting them, by taking them into our fellowship. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to do that? you see, for some of these of God's people, they would shudder later on. God's promises is to Shem. And now Japheth going to come? The Gentiles going to come? There were those that weren't ready to take the Gentiles into the church. They got to become like us, they said. Are we ready to take in those that God brings us through missions into the church? They're not like us. They might have darker skin than most of us. They might like to sing their songs a little different way. They haven't been raised in the church, and they haven't had that whole process of sanctification that you and I know. Are we willing to be patient with them? Make room for them so that they're in the church, they may be fed, they may be instructed, they may be taught the process of sanctification. They're children. We don't expect the same thing of children as adults, do we? Enlarging the place of the tent. And we do that by enlarging the heart of God's people. Already difficult in the days of apostles, I said. Apostle Paul had to deal with it all through his mission work. The Judaizers, those people, nah, they weren't circumcised. Nah, they don't do everything like we do. They don't have all the different feast days that we do. They were scared. They weren't ready to enlarge in the tent. Are you ready? Yes, are you ready to be surprised at what the Lord will do? The church was surprised, wasn't it? The church was surprised at what took place there with Cornelius and Peter in his house. The church was surprised at what the Lord was doing in Antioch. The Lord was surprised at what the Lord was doing through the work of missionary Paul and Barnabas and Silas and John Mark and the preachers. Are you ready to be surprised? And haven't we been surprised several times? Haven't we been surprised at what took place in Singapore? Haven't we been surprised, and aren't we being surprised at what's taking place in the Philippines? Or aren't we being surprised at what's taking place in India right now, in Myanmar? But you say, maybe, Pastor, if you were going to be a foreign missionary, well, yes, you could have that expectation, but shouldn't we have it here? That is, we live in a land which has all these different nationalities right next to us as our neighbors. Different colored skin, different way, different culture that they come from. The Lord surrounded us with all the nations right here doing home missions. Are you ready to be surprised? Verse 4, Isaiah 54, verse 4 says, "Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed." And the Greek and the Hebrew word there, "thou shalt not be ashamed," is a word that has the idea there, you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. Why? Why will we not be disappointed? And the answer is because of the cause of this great expectation. What? God's promises. God's promises. The promise to Abraham. The covenant promise. I will make you a father of many nations. The promise to Jacob. All these Gentiles, all these people will come to you from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. The promise that comes here in Isaiah 54, verse 3, "Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited." Oh, when Israel came back from Babylon, there was nothing left there. There was nothing. The Lord would make her a great nation. No, not now in the physical sense. She never became a real great nation again. But in the church, at Pentecost, and his work today. You will not be ashamed. God says it. You will not be disappointed. We will not be disappointed. Why? Here's the main reason. Because it's God's work. It's God's work. Not this man, not us. It's God's work. God chose them from eternity. God gave them to Jesus Christ to be saved. Jesus died for them. The Holy Spirit's been poured out, working in hearts and lives. One cannot speak about missions without the essential work of the Holy Spirit. There is the basis for doing mission work. It's all of God. God's work. God gives His word. God sends His church out in the world. It is God who calls the preacher and the missionary. It is God who prepares the field. It is God who shows the way. It is the God, and the church obeys and preaches the gospel. We read in John 6, verse 37, "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Enlarging the place of the tent. Here is the basis for zealous missionary work. It's all God's work. And so God sends us forth. He says, "Go, preach the gospel." And the church obeys. The church preaches that word wherever God opens up doors. God calls us to that. Mark 16, verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." The book of Acts, which we studied as an adult Bible study, what a beautiful story. What the Lord Jesus is continuing to do in heaven, that is, gathering His church. Acts 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come to you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost ends of the earth." The Holy Spirit will be with you. It's not just you. It's not just me. It's not just us. It is God by His Spirit using us as His instrument. Yes, God gathers. Yes, they will come because the church obeys and she goes out. Romans 10, 14 and 15. "How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they send?" Our calling. Our calling. Farewell as your pastor, but just beginning our relationship, church and missionary, with a great commission, with great expectation. Enlarge the church. Open up the tent. God's going to bring His people in. To God be the glory. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy promises. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy work. We thank Thee, Father, for the comfort that comes to the barren, to the widow, her maker, her husband will give her many children, more children than she can ever count. All the glory to Thee. Make us faithful in our calling. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I had to change our last song because it was going to be a song for this evening, so we're going to sing instead number 48. The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear, stanza 5. We're going to sing stanzas 1, 3, 4, 5, and 7. Stanzas 1, 3, 4, 5, and 7.
Yeah.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.